every time I speak my mind, I'm lyrically critical, the pinnacle of being revolutionarily pivotal, beyond anything ever studied that's metaphysical. Man, fuck a minority. I'm not politically minimal. But obviously, terminologies that are statistical are manufactured to be unequivocally subliminal, transmitted by monopolized media visuals with false pretense in attempts to be spiritual to individuals who believe in biblical miracles instead of themselves because they're not thinking original.
Who is that?
Immortal Technique.
All right, okay.
You know who he is?
No, I don't know who that is.
He's a rapper from like 20 years ago. And basically everything that he has said is like coming true.
Well, I was hearing the lyrics there and I was like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's a political rapper and everything he says, man, is like...
Has he been shut out already?
Well, he never signed to anybody. He stayed independent throughout his whole career.
Smart.
So he didn't really become... He stayed local. He's from New York.
Yeah.
So
well, it's a good way to open up, David. Thank you so much, man.
I was a little nervous, but...
No, everyone's always a little nervous, but it's all good. Thank you so much for making the time. And I know you're working today.
No, thank you. Really appreciate it.
No, we've been chatting quite a bit, and I like connecting with like-minded individuals from the construction industry, because I think that the construction industry, for lack of a better word, is smart. Like, we just say it the way it is, and we don't consume the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree.
We hear it, but we don't consume it.
Yes, and you know, I feel like, I don't know, like, I've been working construction since 14 and I'm always excited. Like, it's like a playground for me. I'm always like, oh, you know, what are these guys doing? Or what are these guys doing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's always been like that. It's always been pride, like pride, but I don't know. After
it's different now.
It's different.
It's really, really different. And I don't know if it's going to get worse or better. I'm hoping that it gets better, but I think it's going to get worse.
Yeah. And like, you know, my point of view, like I became a boss like 3 years ago, like, you know, and my point of view, like, I always had a certain point of view of the people that are higher up, like the project managers, you know. I always thought of them like, not gods, but, you know, like, just, they know better.
Yeah.
And now that I'm at their level, it's like, oh,
okay. They know better at manipulating.
Yes. Yes.
Let me do some show. Hang on a sec. So David Sierra from RCS Installations here, www.rcsinstallations.ca. You can reach him at contact@RCS Installation. Installation or installation?
So installation.
Installation, right? .ca. And then his phone number to reach him is 416-731-4235. And then we're also going to touch upon another side business that you're doing with Takara Imports, right?
Yes, that's right.
But workwear, which is like, I can't, for the life of me, I've been in construction for 15 years and I always hated the typical go-to construction workwear that was always available. And it's not, I think maybe the last 5 years that has been slightly changing because stuff that's been coming in from Europe and Asia and everything is better than what's already been portrayed here, built here.
I don't know. For me, I feel like it's gone worse. I don't know.
The workwear?
I feel like, man, these pants, they don't last like 3 months, 4 months, you know?
Then you get the knockoff. You get the kind of stores that would just knock off that version.
Exactly.
And make it even worse. Mm. And then it doesn't last. And then...
Yeah. Or there are products that maybe are good, but it's not comfortable.
No.
You know?
No. So. And I always look at it like you're in working for the most part 8 hours a day, sometimes longer. And you want to be comfortable.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
Everyone just thinks footwear is the critical thing. I'm like, no, man, your pants and your jacket and your layers and everything.
I agree. Like, on your podcast, someone was talking about Red Wing boots. I never heard of them. And I went to get a pair, and I'm like, thank God I heard you.
Because they're comfortable as hell.
They're worth it.
Yeah.
They're actually worth it.
And there's so many benefits attached to them. That's why I like it. So let me do HTG. I'm wearing their t-shirt today. So thank you so much for sending me that t-shirt, guys. They do a lot of grinding machinery tools and things like that coming out of Quebec area. Mm. I also want to bring up... I got a message this morning, a couple of messages that he brought up, and it was actually interesting that he brought it up. Mark Fraser from Craigmore Construction. He's like, I just wanted to say thanks so much for creating the platform that you did and the voice that you're creating for the industry. I was going over this concept with a few people as I was looking for work. And so he just stated, the economy is slow currently, which means more people are saving, hopefully, and spending less, which we can obviously see that. Right now, I think it's safe to say a lot of construction industry is very risk averse, which is not good for students that are coming in, workers, construction workers, and such. If I'm a large construction company and margins begin to tighten, I'm less likely to take a risk with a newcomer. Two reasons: we need to execute accurately and efficiently. We have no time to teach because we can't afford a mistake or potentially lose a contract. Second point is this will cause a slow of employment in the construction industry due to lack of experience. Not all the funding and job creation falls flat on probably makes it harder to get a job in the construction industry, even though we need all the bodies we can. So you just want to share that. And I completely agree with him because I'm seeing a mass entrance in the construction industry by a lot of students. And it's a good and a bad thing because we need that workforce, like he's stating here. But the problem is that you're getting companies that are tightening their ship and they're getting quotes, and they probably have reduced their margins to a point where they can't fail. There's no room for error. So the entry level people coming in, we have higher expectations for you now. You can't come in the way it was 5 years ago or even during the COVID years. Like, I can make a mistake and still go with it. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. I understand
that. As a business owner, you can't do that. It's too extreme of a gamble is what's happening. So he was just bringing that up. And then I also want to bring up this constant annoying fact of the heat recovery stack. I'm sure that you don't see it so much in commercial, but in residential, we have the heat recovery stack, which is a power stack, thermal stack, or whatever they're calling it, right? Okay. And Lieberman Plumbing, he sent me a picture. And he was just sending me a picture of the label because I haven't installed one in a few years and I never really paid attention to the label. But when I looked at the science, I was disagreeing with it. And so on the label, it actually states that it's 42.9% efficient. And you're like going, it's 42.9% efficient? You got to be kidding me. Like, what if you hired an employee, going back to Mark's point, and they gave you 42.9% of their force?
Yeah.
Like, you're running a business and they're giving you less than half of their effort. Yeah. How are you operating that business?
Exactly.
So I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So that's basically 42.9% on a proper install of this product, which we know that generally it goes up to about 25 feet. And then they always talk about how the way this works is the hot water goes down the drain and then it goes down the pipes, the ABS, or it could be PVC in commercial. And it, by the time it hits the stack, it's about 25 feet away. It does that cyclone around the inside of it. It makes the copper warm, and then there's cold water traveling through the coil that's on the outside, and then it heats that water, and then it brings it back to the tank. So then it's not bringing it back at the same temperature that it was as cold.
Yes.
I get the science, but I already know for a fact, by the time it leaves your fixture head and it goes down the drain, it already drops 10 degrees. So by the time it gets from the drain to the stack, it's already dropping probably another 15, 20 degrees.
Yeah.
By the time it gets to the stack of where it needs to recover this heat, it's close to already temperature of that cold water.
Yes.
So by the time it gets back into the hot water tank, how much are we really...
How much energy you gotta like...
So the only thing that it's good for is lining the pockets of the politicians that have agreed to put this into the code. That's the only thing that it's good for.
Yeah.
High-Tech Concrete Cutting is a leading provider for all concrete scanning, x-ray, cutting, and coring throughout Ontario. They pride themselves in providing highest quality service in a safe manner, on time, and on budget. With the background, knowledge, and support of more than 30 years' experience from the owner Dan St. Ange, there is no job that they cannot quote or complete. Their fleet is equipped with top-of-the-line trucks and equipment, which eliminates any uncertainty for downtime and allows our highly skilled crews to complete your project without delays. Choose High-Tech Concrete Cutting for your next project and see the difference when dealing with the industry leaders. Find them at www.hightechcutting.ca and on Instagram at hightechconcretecutting. Do you dread the office? Are you spending your personal time on paperwork? Join the club. The good news is there's a solution that isn't hard or overwhelming. With SyncedUp's estimating and job tracking software, you can plan for it and hit your profit goals, all while cutting your estimating time by up to 90%. Do you know where your money is going? Are you sure you're even making money? SyncedUp will show you exactly where your money is going with its simple budgeting tool, revealing those cash leaks so you can take back control of your business. Do you wonder if all those payroll hours are making you money or costing you money? SyncedUp tracks your unbillable labor, helping you optimize for project efficiency and ensuring each job is profitable. At SyncedUp, they're here to help contractors thrive, not just survive. Get a budgeting consultation with a SyncedUp expert looking over your shoulder to help you optimize your company's budget for free using the link in the show notes. If you love what you see, you can use the TCL discount and get 20% off on your first 6 months. Annual plan is required. Just click on the link in the show notes to book your call with the sales team and mention the TCL podcast. Check out SyncedUp.com and at SyncedUp on IG to level up your business. Are you looking for a sustainable and durable real wood solution to elevate your next project? Let me introduce you to the gold standard. Thermery, the world's largest and most trusted manufacturer of thermally modified wood and sauna materials. Their wood is like the superhero version of regular wood, stronger, more stable, and ready to take on whatever Mother Nature throws its way. With a wide range of thermally modified wood products from decking and cladding to sauna and statement walls, when you choose Thermery, you're not just investing in quality, you're investing in the health of our planet too. Join countless architects, designers, builders, and homeowners who have trusted Thermery to bring their vision to life. The best way to fully experience the Thermery difference is to hold the real thing in your hands, so visit their website today at www.thermeryusa.com and also find them on IG at ThermeryUSA. Looking for cutting-edge solutions for your spray foam needs? Look no further than Elastichem Specialty Chemicals. With a remarkable track record spanning over three decades, Elastichem stands as an industry-leading supplying contractors across Canada with top-grade closed-cell, open-cell, and specialty foam products and accessories. Experience hassle-free spraying in both summer and winter with Insulthane Extreme, Canada's groundbreaking HFO closed-cell product. Time is precious, and we know it. Optimize your efficiency and avoid downtime by choosing the best products with the best technical and customer support. Elevate your spray foam game today with Insulthane Spray Foam products by Elastichem. Give them a try today. Visit their website at www.elastichem.com or give them a call at 1-877-787-2436. Time to sign up for Phil, the free construction marketplace and load tracking app for developers, engineers, and all contractors working in the civil construction industry. One other thing to mention is business and facility listings. Phil has the most complete database of quarries, pits, plants, and depots in Ontario, including all of the big names. So if you're looking for concrete, stone, asphalt, whatever, you'll be able to find it. You can also add your business listing or claim it. It might already be on the map. Sign up for free on the website at www.getphil.app. That's www.getphil.app. You can also search Phil in the App Store. Construction pros, brace yourselves for a revolutionary experience. HTGNA, your ultimate destination for state-of-the-art concrete floor preparation equipment, is about to change the game. Our motto, surface preparation is not just a task, it's our expertise, and your satisfaction is a guarantee. HTGNA isn't your average, it's a commitment. Our line of concrete floor preparation equipment stands tall as the epitome of industry excellence. Ready to take your projects to the next level? Dive into htgnorthamerica.com for a glimpse of innovation. Lock in a demo now and immerse yourself in the HTGNA experience. HTG North America, surface preparation equipment is our expertise, your satisfaction, our guarantee. So I just wanted to get those out of the way, no, but I now I want to get talking about you and RCS, and where do you want to begin? Because I know that you sent me a message and you wanted to talk a lot about the industry has become.
Yeah, like I want to talk about, well, you know, you interview me, I want to be as transparent as possible, yeah. But I definitely want to talk about my current situation right now, because it very bothers me where I am, because I feel like I did the right thing.
Is it completely different than what you've...
No, it was like basically my first original message. We can start off from there if you want.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, I messaged you about like 3 months ago or four months ago, right?
Yeah.
So basically, one of my current clients, he walked a big mechanical company, right? He walked off from his contract, right? And I have three contracts with him, which left me in current limbo. I'm like, okay, what do I do?
Yeah.
He walked out of two, but we're still working on one. And regardless, through this whole situation, he's like, David, continue working. Like, he's like, I don't know if we're getting paid. We're having problems with the builder, but don't make me look bad. Like, don't make the builder come to me and say, why are we not insulating, right? Okay, you know what? I got you.
So how does that make you feel that he tells you, he begins by saying, continue working.
Yeah, but we might not get paid.
Yeah.
Because I told you how the type of person that I am. You know, you're my client. I want to provide the maximum service that I can. And how I grew up, you're like, you're my boy. You know, you're not just my client.
Did he give you a reason on why?
No real reason except, like, I don't understand what the reason is. I'm even though I should know, because, you know, it's a lot of money on the table, I don't really understand why they walked out. Like, they keep saying these things, you know, and then, you know, I signed, basically, like, where I am now, I re-signed with the builder.
Yeah.
But, okay, so back then.
But you went around it with their blessing because they walked away from it, right?
Well, they walked away from it, right? And then, okay, so what's going on? You walked away from the project? right? But we, it's okay. So he walked away from two projects. We're doing one. He's telling me continue with the other one, right? I go to my lawyer and I'm like, hey, this is my situation. You know, what should I do? He's like, you know, he's like, you can't really put a lien on one project and still do another one. Put a lien on all of them? Well, he said to me, because it's just about the...
Sure you can, because a lien is applied to the...
Well, no, he said I can, but as friends, as like, you know, how would you feel like... Like, he's going to make it harder to pay the current one if I'm putting a lien on the other two, right? I think
the friend card is off the table the moment he said continue doing work and we might not get paid.
But like, but you got to understand, in my situation, I still have one project that's going on, yes, right?
Yeah.
And if I put a lien on the other two...
It's going to reflect.
It's the chemistry. I'm still trying to work. I'm trying to find a way to finish the end goal without having to sue anybody.
Of course.
Because that's what I want to finish the job.
Yeah. You want to just do the work. I want to do the work. That's what I've always said to people. Yeah. If you could try to avoid litigation,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
That's the best and best option on the table regarding going down this path.
Yeah. So I did what I did. You know, I'm a small guy. I'm running three, and I'm not only doing insulation, I'm also doing fire stopping.
Yeah.
So two trades for each job. That's six trades for each. That's at least two guys.
How many employees you have?
I have six right now. I had to downgrade.
Plus
right?
You.
Plus me. I always work. You know? Okay. I try to do at least 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So all your energy went to the third job and then you couldn't do anything about the other two
jobs. Yeah, I had two guys and I just very minimal, right? Just keep busy. But you know, it's a one guy and one project is three buildings. It's not, we're falling behind, right?
Of course.
But it's still.
Because you know from experience how much people.
Exactly.
How many work hours. You know everything. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the way it works.
But my client's still saying, like, make sure we don't look bad, right? And it happened for 2 months. So whatever, they walked out of the job. Okay, you guys walked out of the job. I let it go. They obviously weren't going to get, I wasn't going to get paid for one of the invoices, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay.
What are we talking about? Five figures here?
I'll show you some numbers, actually. Can I show you the last email that I gave to my client?
Sure. Yeah.
And then I want you to read it. Because I feel like, I don't know, like he didn't even reply back. Like, I don't know why. Like, I feel like
I don't want to get you in trouble, though, if you start showing me and I start repeating.
No, I don't. Words. No, just read it. Just because basically.
Read it to myself, not to read on mic.
Yeah. Yeah, read it to yourself. Yes, for sure. It's just like, this is basically the last email I sent to him.
And how far back are we talking about here?
Like more than a week, I think.
Okay. So and you were sending this email to find out what's going on.
Well, basically I laid out, I'm like, yo, you owe me this much money.
Yeah.
This is overdue already. Yeah. Like I did what you said. I did what you asked me. You know, you said work without getting paid. I worked.
You delivered the scope.
I delivered whatever you. There's no. He walked out of the job. He walked out of the client, right?
Yeah.
So it's such. Even my lawyer is like, it's very complicated. He's like, your situation, because he's like, even there's a certain. So there's a certain amount of holdback that they hold every month.
Yeah.
But he walked out of the job, right? But
do you think he did a cost analysis of the job, and after he spoke to his client, and he's like, you know what? I'm not gonna make anything on this. So if I leave, I'm actually in a better financial spot than if I stay and take the risk of possibly getting paid from finishing the job.
Well, I just feel like, here it is. I just feel like, I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like him as a business person and as a person, I really, really like him. It's just a situation that we're in. It's very complicated, I feel, right? And I feel like he's a smart guy. And at the end of the day, he has to look after his business and his family, right?
He does, but he also has to pay attention to your business and your family because you're providing.
Of course. I provided.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Now you've completed it, right? The
job's completed,
right? Yeah, so I'm just reviewing this. And yeah, you basically laid it all out. So you had a conversation with him and he asked you to continue. And now you're basically reminding him that you delivered what what he asked of you.
And I put dates of, you know, and you can see there.
No, totally, which is great, right? And then you've got amounts here.
And it's not little amounts.
Yeah.
For a little guy, it's not little amounts.
You're being all professional about it here. And this is over a week ago and you have not heard
back. He did not reply back. And I don't feel like it's fair, you know? Because I'm telling you, like, what's the other thing I can do? Like, go knock. It's not like, you know, my brother owns a very successful residential company, Drywall.
Yeah.
And one of his first clients, you know, they didn't pay. So he was able to knock on the door and be like, you know, what the hell, right? But this is different. This is corporate offices and big, like, what am I supposed to do? Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
What am I supposed to do, right?
See, this is where the C-suite line drawn between trades and the upper management is abused.
and like I want to. Sorry, I'm like, I feel like I'm like vomiting. I don't know. There's even another situation where, like, for example, like with the new builders, right? Contracts, you know, they took so long to sign the contract. On the contract, there's a schedule that's obviously late because the new mechanical company is doing a bunch of testing. It's stopping me from insulating. We're already behind on the schedule. On before I signed the contract, I said, hey, I put a line here on the schedule. If, you know, if the plumbing company is behind schedule and it's not my fault, like, I shouldn't be penalized for this.
And how do they respond to that?
They gave me the finalized contract and that's gone.
They took your notation about...
Is that fair? But I don't know.
No, of course not.
But how do you prove that email or this, like, that's, but that's weird, right?
But you're
so physically... I put an arrow saying, hey, if the plumbing company is late on testing, it should not affect me. Because my contract is not with the new mechanical company.
No, it's with the builder. With the
builder.
Yeah.
So I'm not even dealing with them anymore, right?
So did you send a follow-up email noting that you actually made this?
No, because I'm just a guy, right? How do I don't know, right? I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Hey, this is not the right file.
What did the lawyer say about that one? Did you speak to him about that one?
No, because that was the file. No, what do I say to him? Hey, he gave me this copy. The lawyer said it's good. Just, you know, put your notes... You know, and just sign.
So right? He gave you a copy where he omitted your note.
Yes,
but it has your signature on it.
But it has my it doesn't.
It has your final signature on the final page.
No, that section is gone completely. So all of them have my initials, but those three pages is gone.
So you need to follow up on that and go listen. Did you make a copy of it when you signed it?
It's all online. So the copy that I sent to him and the copy that he sent to me that's finalized is not the same file.
So then you got to send him an email saying this is not the same file, guys. This is not what I signed.
I know, but I mean, it's very, but at this, yeah, because, but yeah, now I know.
No, you have to cover your ass because the thing is, like, David, if what happens is if that mechanical company does delay things, now it falls completely on you. And then they can use that as a recourse saying, we're not going to pay you because you didn't finish on time.
Yeah, but it's even all those little things like this, like, or for example, they send the progress report very late and like there's actually a specific schedule where you have to submit back your progress report to then submit your invoice.
Yeah.
And then I text them, I'm like, hey, I'm like, yo, the date is coming up and no text back. I know you guys are busy. I know I'm just an insulator, but yo, like, I gotta get paid, right? Like, I feel like they're doing some stuff on purpose. Like, this political thing is like these rules, like they can bend it in a way. Okay, oh, well, sorry, you submitted your report too late. You know, now we can't pay your invoice until next month.
I always, like, I'm not as versed in the high-rise commercial construction industry as I am in the low-rise custom residential industry, right? But I've been noticing that in that high-rise world, a lot of things are being done to insulate the top and to basically leave the bottom at the bottom. And I don't like it. Yeah. I really don't like it because I think I was having a conversation with somebody else recently where I was talking about how I understand the top makes all the deals and they do all the political handshaking and they make sure that they got that piece of land and they did all the zoning and they got the architect and the designer and they pitched, marketed and got all that. They got the project, right? But the upper management is forgetting that none of them are taking their suits off and putting on hard hats and doing the work. So you need the bottom to complete the rest of your vision. Your vision doesn't end when you've sold that project. Mm. It starts, if anything. Yeah. And you require this bottom to do this work. So you can't continue treating these guys and girls like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Like I every time I'm at a project, I feel like we're a fleet, you know? And, you know, there's, you know, the plumbing ship and the electrical ship and we're all a team, you know, we should be a goal, right? Like, but you always hear, you know, like
not the only one that's being treated this way, are you?
I feel like I'm the bottom, like out of like the all the trades there, like I feel like the mechanical insulators and the fire stoppers were an afterthought.
Yeah, but it's so paramount on the level of a security.
It's just inspection alone. Yeah. You don't get occupancy if it's not fire.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know. I feel like we don't get. And I've been here since 2009. You know, I went to school for architectural technology. I have all these points of views. So like, I feel like, yeah, you're right. We don't get respected.
How often do you talk to other trades on the job site? But at the point where you're
They don't care. What bothers me is like, I've hired a lot of people, right? Most people just come in just for a paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
some people care about their job. I agree. Some people, most, I would say maybe like 80% of the people care about their job, right? But then those other guys that just, I don't know. I'm like, why are you here?
Because it's just a job.
It's just a job or just a check, right?
And they don't want to rock the boat because they know that they're making X amount, even though it's not what they could be making. They could be making more.
Yeah.
But if they rock the boat, then they might not even be working at that job.
I just feel like everyone doesn't want to rock the boat, but I feel like we should. I was telling you that I don't want to rock the boat at the beginning, right? I'm kind of scared to go to my client and say, where is my money? Because I don't even know why I should be scared.
You shouldn't be.
I shouldn't. But that email that showed like, what you read, right? Like,
yeah.
So like, it laid everything out.
You professionally broke it down. So it's like the scope of work is complete. It's not like you haven't done.
Exactly.
It's no different. Like, it's not like your previous employer walked away from the job.
Yeah.
You haven't done that. You've done the job.
Yes. You know, the job is complete. Like, and if there are deficiencies from the engineer or from the builder, I haven't seen them for one product. Like, you walked out of the other two, that's irrelevant. But from the third one that I agreed, you know, to stay with.
So you sent that email a week ago.
Yes, and no reply.
Send another email.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know, Manny. I know it's very
easy. No, but okay. So how many, you sending it to one person?
To the accounting and the boss, the CEO, right? That's who I talk
to. So who else is attached in that upper management part of that business?
And one more person.
So below. Send it to them.
But there's already three people I sent it to already.
So find send more people in the business and keep on sending it to them.
See, I don't like that. I don't like that.
What's the reason why you don't like that?
Because I don't feel like it should be my job to be constantly saying, hey, when am I getting paid? Hey, when is this problem going to get fixed? Hey, I should call every day. That's what I should do.
Until you get an answer, whether it's like we're not paying you we're going to pay you and here's the date that we're going to pay you until you get an answer. So but even like I've had people on the show before where we talked about, I mean, getting paid is sales at that point. Going back to the C-suite and the vision, and the vision starts when the building starts. The vision doesn't stop when you sold the building. Yes, I think when you don't finish your job until you get paid.
Yeah,
so you haven't finished your job in your eyes. Why don't you look at it that way? Like, you think you finished the job, but you haven't been paid. But getting paid is part of finishing the job. So I think you need to remind them. That's where I go, like, get rid of this friend. You're not a friend anymore. Like, this was a transaction between two parties. That's how legal looks at it. They never look at it like, oh, these are two buddies that shook a hand. And all of a sudden, they like, you know, maybe things kind of rubbed the wrong way or whatever. Yeah, no, this is a business transaction. Like, I mean, I've said it on the show before where I've had somebody that I know who rents out properties that he owns. And after he signs the lease agreement, he actually tells the person, if you take money away from my kids, my family, my providing, my options and shit like that, I'm not getting the police involved. I'm not getting the housing tribunal involved. I'm breaking your fucking legs. So it's like, it's a transaction. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I'm not saying you should become Steven Seagal and all of a sudden start fucking pissing people off that way. Yeah. I'm just saying continue the professional courtesy. And if it's a week, send an email. I would have sent an email after 2 days. I would be like, guys, I'm looking for an answer here. Can somebody respond to this? And then even let them know, because technology-wise, there's ways of putting apps on your email system that notify you, let you know that they've opened up the email. So you know they're opening up the email. And if they're looking at the email and they're going, well, dismiss. It's no different than certain friends that you had that you send them a text and all of a sudden 3 weeks later, they respond back going, no, I can't make it. That was 3 weeks ago. So you know that the priority in that friendship isn't there. This is a business transaction. So if they're not responding to you, they're ignoring you. If they're ignoring you, they don't want to pay you. If they think that they could keep on doing that until you finally say, well, fuck it, I'm not going to get paid and I move on, it's a loss. That's the option on the table, David. So do you want to just say, fuck it?
No, I'm not going to.
So then send an email and I would keep on going through the entire company's directory and send an email to every fucking buddy. Let everybody in that company know that RCS hasn't been paid for work already completed.
I know, it's crazy.
I know it's like, it's not your nature because you don't want to come across as the asshole.
Yes.
But if you're not the asshole, they're the asshole. So it's, I think at that point, you really need to look at this and go, am I going to get paid? Or what's the situation here? I'm not going to get paid. You need to decide, because a week's going to turn into a month. A month's going to turn into six. Six is going to turn into a year. At some point, you're going to say it's a loss. Because you have to deal with your accountant, you have to deal with CRA, and you're going to be like, I did the work, here's all the materials that I spent on it, here's all the labor that I spent on it, but I never got paid. So now that's a loss on my line item in my CRA. Or do you want to receive the money so you can pay all you guys? Because I'm assuming that you pay the guys because the guys need to get paid.
Yeah, well, I found ways, right? I'm still continuing, right? Because think about this happened in like February, March. We're in June now, right? And I started even to re-sign with the builder.
So why is it that you have to take the hit?
I don't know. But it's not. That's just one email of various emails, right? Yeah, various meetings, right?
When did this all start? Like you're in construction since 2009. You educated yourself, got into this trade.
Yeah.
I don't take the argument that nobody respects any trade. I had a conversation last weekend with somebody telling me that a painter doesn't get the respect from the industry. Mm. And I was like, I don't accept anything from any argument from telling me anybody that thinks that a trade is not as valuable as the next trade. Mm. I will always argue and say, I don't give a shit how important the drywallers think, the mechanical, the bricklayers. Yeah. I don't give a shit. You guys in my eyes are all equal and it will always stay equal.
Yes.
But you guys are all professional trades people.
Yes.
Bottom line. So when people start telling me that I don't get the respect on site, I don't get the respect on all those, I don't give a shit about that. That's not even a part of the conversation, so stop saying that shit, right? So you guys are all equal on this ship. Everybody's going through this bullshit. You need to continue doing these follow-ups on these emails. So if you've taken the time to learn this trade, build a business, you have your reputation, you got into tender, so you totally got in to get these jobs,
and even
but now you're dealing with bullshit. So it's like you want to find out, why is the bullshit rolling down all the way to me? Because after me, there's nobody else to give that bullshit
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And I need you guys to tell me why. And if that means it's your new trainee that just got hired in your business, they need to get an email and go, why the fuck is David from RCS asking me why he hasn't been paid for a job that's been completed?
But like, you know, I'm emailing directly to the CEO, right? And then what's...
He's ignoring it. They're ignoring it.
I know, but
on purpose.
It's very nice to like say and talk about it, but like I feel like I'm in that current situation where like, you know, like it very bothers me because I did what you asked me, you know, I did everything in order not to put a lien, right?
So keep on reminding them of that. That's all I keep on saying.
But you're right. You're right. It's just very hard for me.
It's a pain in the ass. Trust me, isn't it? Because you look at it like we had an agreement.
Yes. Yes.
You asked me to do this. I delivered. And now you're not delivering.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I think you need to, it's not about being creative. I think you need to still continue being professional. I think we're gone. The days of making threats, you know, like my brother-in-law has a huge concrete company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, you just fucking made a threat. You know what I'm saying? Yes, like those days are done. I think you need to stay professional and courteous. And if it ever does get to legal, you sent an email on this date. 7 days later, you sent another email. 2 days after that, you sent another email. Nobody's responded on that. Send a registered letter that has to be signed and accepted with the same information. So now you got a registered letter. So do all this shit.
With a letterhead and everything.
Everything. So then they know that. And also say it without saying, I'm not going away. Continuously remind them that you did the work. And it passed.
As far as I'm known, there's no deficiencies, right?
So you've done the work. So that's another thing. Just remind them all that. It said in the email. I saw that. So all of a sudden, just keep on reminding it. And then also hint to them or even just blatantly say it, I'm not interested in negotiating. The reason they're ignoring you is because they don't have the money. Either they Peter Paul'd the job, which you know what that means. It's like they got the payment on one job, but then they can't pay everybody on that job until they start this other job, right? But that's not your problem.
That's not my problem. And I helped out.
These are big corporations that have set up accounts and they have their own payment structure and they know exactly when you're supposed to get paid. Like, what is your pay period with this company? Is it 90 days?
No. Well, I was lucky. We agreed. For 30 days from submitting in, which is lucky. I know it's lucky.
So what are we at now?
It's 60 days. Now. Well, 45 days with 15 days grace period. It was in the email.
So you're already past the point of lien anyway.
Yeah, I'm probably past the point of lien. And well, no, actually, because I went back to that job, right?
So you're not past.
I'm not past. I was still there, right?
I know, but trust me, you're right. Like I, anybody who reaches out to me, I always say, don't go that route.
No, I don't want
to figure out a way to get paid.
Because I don't want to. I don't even if I get a lawyer, like I know then it's a year, 2 years, 3 years.
Longer.
And this guy, I know he's a big company, right? He has the lawyers.
He will just drown you in paperwork, and that's the game.
And that's the game.
Simple as that.
You know,
their lawyer has more money. or they're spending more money on their lawyer.
And I just feel like it's not, sorry to interrupt you, but it's just, it's not fair because I feel like I did my part.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is get rid of that whole friendship, fairness bullshit and stay the course of you being professional. And to be professional, you have an outstanding and constantly change the subject heading. You have an outstanding invoice for RCS. Please pay now. That's it. And just, I would go through the whole company directory and send it to fucking everybody. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Like I had another builder reach out to me and he had a outstanding $90,000 bill with a client and we got talking for a long time and this is custom resi and he was asking me for suggestions. Obviously lien was the first thing. Second was litigation. And I just, I dismissed both of them for the reasons that I'm always constantly saying that the only people who benefit there are lawyers. Bottom line, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't care. You could, I have yet to meet anybody and I know lawyers that listen to the show and they'll disagree with me. I go, you guys are fucking used car salespeople trying to sell me a used car.
Yes.
I don't want to buy a used car, so leave it alone. I don't agree with your course of action. I think there should be other ways that we could mediate this and solve this. Ultimately, I told him, just start, continue sending the bill. And then I asked him a funny question. I go, how proud is he of the work that you've done? He goes, extremely proud. He's been telling everybody in the neighborhood that he's excited about the work that was done. And he's excited about an upcoming party that he's going to be planning, all this other shit. So you haven't been paid 90 grand and he's already boasting about the work that you've done, but he hasn't paid you. And I through the conversation, I found out that he had to pay his line of credit because the bank will come after him, but he doesn't have to pay the contractor because the contractor may or may not come after him. So I said, accidentally leave outstanding invoices in his neighbor's mailboxes. Let the neighborhood know that he hasn't paid for the work that's been done. And he just said, that's an interesting idea. I was going, do it by accident and totally play the card that you made a mistake. You weren't realizing you sent it to an assistant to drop it off and he put it in the wrong house. But the point is, let the scope people on the outside know that this person is not paying you.
But it's kind of like shaming, right? See, I don't want to do, I don't want
to
do those things.
But he's doing that to you internally.
See, like how I grew up is just you, we man to man. We like, hey, what's going on? You know, we agreed.
We those days are done. When we had a problem with somebody, you confronted them.
I know.
The problem is that here, they hide behind...
Yes, lawyers or...
They hide behind everything.
Or they hide behind, yeah, the other people's fault, which you know, for example, me, if my guys didn't insulate properly and something sweat, something leaks, right?
You take accountability.
Yo, my fault, I'm going to fix it.
Of course.
I don't say, yo, no my guys...
No questions asked. You no show up.
So if I say, hey, why am I not getting paid? All my accountant or all my project manager.
You don't get why it's not.
But I don't get why because...
But you understand there's two ways. Either they haven't been paid and they don't want to pay you.
I'm pretty sure it's that they don't have money. I think that's my guess.
If they had the money, they want to give you the money, but they just can't give it to you right now.
Yeah, that too, right?
But how do you operate a business like that, David?
For me, it was very,
not sustainable.
I'm surprised I'm still here. Every month I'm like, yo.
So what happens if you get another contract and this happens all over again?
Well, for me, like, for example, so I kind of like backed off the big projects and then I went around Waterloo where I'm from and I went to all these companies, knocked on the door. A couple of companies, you know, they gave me quotes to submit, like little schools or like little boiler rooms here and there. Out of those three, one of them has been continuously giving me work. So that's a little, that's how
I know, but you're giving yourself excuses to continue this procedure.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. To be honest, the only thing that's going to solve my situation is just getting paid, really.
I know, but to get paid, you got to constantly be asking.
Yeah. So that's, but at the same time, I got to be constantly looking for work, right? And
no, you do. So the moment that you go look for work, you send another email. So whatever you do looking for work, you do the same with getting an email. You have to keep on sending it.
I know, but
otherwise, we should start an association. Like, you ever see that? The Russian slapping wrestling competitions. You ever see those?
Yes.
I think that if a builder or somebody doesn't want to pay, that's what has to happen. So if you don't want to pay this week, you're going to get a slap from me. Simple as that. And then how many slaps is it going to take before they start paying you?
But you know what I mean? But I feel like they don't, like they have no shame, those guys.
Because they're hoping that you go away.
They want to bankrupt me, you think? But
not bankrupt you. They want you to basically... go away. Like they want you to forget about it. That's what they really want.
Yeah, but you saw those numbers.
I know.
They're not.
I know, but they don't care.
And those numbers are very small, I feel, compared to, like, you know, their numbers, I feel, you know?
So what's the rule of thumb in construction? It's like you always treat the smallest number as the biggest piece of shit.
Yeah.
So it's like they don't care. That's what I mean, is that you need to make them start caring about you.
I know. It's very... I'm very disappointed about this part of the business.
Like when I've gotten into situations, my first thought process about is I don't have the fucking money to pay my guys, but I have to pay my guys.
Yes.
So then you find the money to pay the guys. But now you have to collect the money to pay yourself now.
Yes.
Because now it's a hobby that's costing you money.
Even, sorry to interrupt you, another situation, for example, like I'm not getting paid, right? So now I have to go get a loan. I ran my whole business without getting loans, okay? Somehow I did it with just...
But you're getting a loan because you haven't been paid for
business? Yeah, exactly, because I have to pay this month, right? I have to pay them. I'm out. So now I have to get this loan because I haven't been paid in this loan. Now I have to pay an interest of $5,000 because you're not paying me. Now I have to go get a loan and I have
your
to
invoice expense. Have an interest on it, like an amount on it?
No, it doesn't.
You don't do that?
I didn't know. I was just a blind guy going to a big company. Think about it, like, you know, I was just, you know, working construction and, you know, I was submitting, you know, because I went to architecture technology, so I knew how to read blueprints. But I didn't know how much you charge per linear feet or per square feet. I just, you know, I eyed it out, you know?
How about this, David? Mm. If you gave yourself, okay, let's say you took your situation. Mm. And here's another reason why I can't stand lawyers. They always find what to do. It doesn't matter if it's your side or their side. Mm. So a lawyer will act on the best interest of whatever side they go, whoever's paying for it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like if they go on your side, then they start talking about creating all this mountain of paperwork to just fucking piss them off.
Yes.
But if they're going on against you and they're on the other side, yeah, they do the exact same thing.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to say, hey, you know, I have this extra $5,000 expense because you're paying me late. I don't want to say
Here's my point. If they were owed that money and you added an extra zero to that amount.
Yeah.
So now we're not talking about the small amount. Yeah. We're talking about a much larger amount.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about what they would be doing to collect that money.
Of course they would. Yes, I agree. Yeah, because that actually is a big amount for me.
Other builders in here come in here tell me that as soon as things start going south, the voice and the face of the company no longer deals with it. It's handed off to somebody else who's known as the bulldog, right? And they're like, they have no interest in the friendship part, all the niceties that happened to get this job, all the fucking pleasantries, all the coffees that were brought to site. Yeah. They have nothing to do with that shit.
I know.
Their objective is, it's like no different than Wolf and Pulp Fiction, right? Their objective is to come to this person, get me my fucking money.
Yeah. A high rise is basically like that every day because you have your builder, right, pushing you. You have the mechanic, let's say maybe the mechanical company, they don't have their copper on time, whatever. The framers go ahead of the, you know, it's just like that. And then when I'm there, I got to talk to somebody, hey, you know, or like the bulldog will come to me and be like, hey, why is this not insulated? Well, it's not tested. Why are you talking to me?
So who do you have in your circle of friends that could be the new voice of your, and I would start an email account?
I don't want to say I'm a loser, but I don't really have.
No. But
you mean in the trade itself?
No. So what I'm saying is that, I mean, this is just a thought, but the thing is, I think you should start a new entity. Most likely they're not listening, right? Mm. You start a new email and it's a different character of yourself.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
So your email is david@rcsinsulation.ca, whatever. Yes, now, you know, like you send an email saying, listen, guys, I want to introduce you to...
That's really a good idea, actually.
And you know what? In my opinion, choose a fucking Russian name. You know what I mean?
No, like, actually, that's a very good idea.
I'm just saying, because now I want to introduce you to Ivan.
Yeah.
Right? And he's going to be taking care of all my outstanding payments. And then you guys will have a conversation with him. Whether that's you on the other side of it, answering all these questions and presenting all this shit. Now you've got a bulldog in your business that's going after them for the funds that you were deserving.
Actually, that's a very good idea. It's like,
created as an alter ego, man.
Exactly. I hear you exactly.
Because you feel bad that you are trying to build a relationship.
Yes.
And then whatever, if things go really fucking bad and it just gets more and more negative or something like that, you could always say down the road, listen, that was a guy that I hired. He was part of the business, but he got a little too aggressive sometimes. Yeah. I had to let him go.
Yeah.
You can use all that bullshit. Yeah.
But I feel like it still bothers me, man. He's like, I feel like it shouldn't get to that. Like, you know, you're proud of your work. You know, you're proud of your word. Just fucking stick to your word?
Listen, I've said the same thing about clients, man. Like, you guys hire people for a reason. you boasted about why you wanted to work with them, they start delivering a bunch of shit, then invoices start piling up, and then you start realizing that you didn't want to spend all this money, but you're enjoying the fruits of the labor that were created in your house.
And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, because high rise, it's everything is paperwork. Everything is already planned. They knew how much they pay me. They know how much I submit. Like, they know all these
things. I know, but right now they're keeping a track that you sent an email 1 week ago and you have been sent a follow-up email. I think this needs to be sent over to RCS regarding accounts receivable.
Yeah.
I think that's where it needs to go next, right? And that email needs to go out every single day. It needs to keep on being a reminder until they get an answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Because it's even whack that they haven't given me an answer. I feel like there's no respect in that.
That's the reason, all the more reason why you should be, right? Mm. Because, I mean, like, David, look at it this way. What happens to your business 5 years from now? So you're considering a loan. You have to continue paying. You have to still hustle and look for more work. Mm. But if this happens again and then again, and now you're carrying loan interest, now you're carrying staff, now you're carrying projects, now you're paying for projects, hoping money comes in.
Yeah.
At some point, that $10,000 loan is probably going to turn into a $100,000 liability.
Yeah.
So and now what are you running? You're not running a business anymore. You're making the bank's money. Yeah,
exactly.
You're losing money. So now you're going to be like, okay, well, we can't go on that vacation with the family anymore. Now I can't consider doing this other opportunity I want to consider doing. Like, that's all these things are going to start chipping away at you now.
It's been chipping away. Because even me, I feel like it's our opportunity cost. And I tell my client, like, yo, I'm trying to do this other business and you're not paying me.
They don't care.
I know he doesn't care. I know. But I want to reach his human side and be like, yo, you, I did what you asked me to do.
You're a number and you're a line item to them. So then treat them as such.
That's business, eh?
It's business. Mm. Back in the day, the old days, it was always handshake. And if you didn't deliver, you were part of the concrete foundation.
Mm. And even then, like I said, like for whatever reason, it just doesn't make sense. There's no communication or it doesn't make sense.
But you could, okay, like.
Just if it really bothers me that someone can easily decide, I'm not going to pay you.
If a relationship doesn't work out.
Yes.
You're going to spend the rest of your days trying to figure out why it didn't work out?
No, but it's very hard to understand how you can still be in business.
Let it go. Trust me, another person's going to come along and you'll meet them. I think the faster you turn this into 100% business, the sooner you'll get more work to avoid you from getting more credit.
I hear you.
Anyways, I think now it's consuming you, and I've always told everybody that reaches out to me about litigation, I go, all it's going to do is consume you for the next 5 years. And I'm like, how many kids you have and how good is your marriage? Because both of those are going to get destroyed. So it's consuming you, because I know we've been talking for a little while, and you want to ask yourself, how much longer do you want it to consume you?
Not that longer, to be honest.
So then send the bulldog in, man.
I'm going to do it, I think.
Go on ChatGPT and create a fucking character.
Yeah.
And that's your account's receivable character. And a new email that belongs to RCS.
No, actually, that's all a very good idea. And just I do have that problem. It's not that I'm nice. It's just that.
Get a burner phone, phone, another number, and go here. Text a message. You have his mobile, right? This person.
Of course.
So start texting the messages going, hey, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Vladimir from RCS. And I understand there's an outstanding invoice. Here's the number and here's the total amount.
Yeah.
When can we expect payment? And constantly do it.
I'm going to start.
Because you need to move on and look for other work.
Of course.
You want to grow your business.
I want to grow. I constantly want to grow. And that's the thing. Like, you know what? One of the many conversations I have with my client is like, you know, one of the reasons that I didn't go through litigation is because, you know, when I go look for the other client, the next mechanical company, and they're going to call you. I don't want them to say, you know, David sued me or, you know, David doesn't work well or whatever, right? It's just because I know it was very,
you're past that point, though.
It was very hard for me to get my foot in the door, like, because it's very hard to get your, especially in
these. It's a niche trade.
It's a niche trade. And then who hires mechanical insulators, right? Just mechanical contractors. That's it. Building operators, maybe.
And plus, the other shitty thing is that you're dealing with a downturn in the economy.
Yeah.
So buildings are not going up. Buildings are being canceled. So that's the other thing, is that I think you need to also sit down and not continue spending more time on this and just figure out the course of action that you want to do. Do it.
Yes,
if it doesn't work, readjust and keep on doing it.
Yes.
But you have to ask yourself, am I going to eventually let go of this payment one day, or do I really want this payment?
No, you No, I really want it.
So then you really want it, then you need to figure out 100 things that you need to do to get this payment. Because the other problem that you have to deal with now is that the economy is turning. Everyone thinks that it's bad now. By the end of this year, it's going to get far worse. And then 2025 is even going to be worse because the jokers at the top in our government are planning on making this country worse. That's just inevitable. So they're here to stay until the end of next year. So there's a lot of time here that they can fuck up a lot more. So you talk about like high rises being canceled now, wait for another 6 months. You're going to see how many more high rises are going to get canceled. But then everyone, it's going to be a feeding frenzy to try to get work.
You're right. You're right. And it's very competitive. But you know, like for example, like I was in high school in 2008. And when I graduated, I was doing my electrical apprenticeship. And yeah, my guy, when that's when the recession happened, right? And then my guy's like, sorry, we gotta, whatever. But that's when I found a job as this, a mechanical insulator. And honestly, like my, I don't know if I'm lucky, but through all the ups and downs over the last, since 2009, I've always had work. And I feel like, you know.
So when did the problems start? How far back are we talking about?
We're talking about just, well.
This is the biggest one.
Well, okay, my first client ever, 3 years ago. They went broke. They went bankrupt 80% into the job.
Okay.
Okay. The builder took over 20%. It was very easy to take over, right?
Where is the your first client now?
As far as we're aware, this is start another company. This is what we're talking about.
In the same trade?
In the same trade. We're talking about a very, I don't want to say their name. It's big builder.
Okay.
Huge build, mechanical contractor.
Okay.
And then once they went broke, then I found this this guy, right? Because the estimator actually used to be the estimator for...
Do you know the reason why they went broke? They didn't get paid?
From what I assume is they overstretched. This is a rumor.
They overextended their business.
This is a rumor.
Okay.
They took up a bunch of contracts to make their job look, to make their company look fat. And they sold it. And then...
They couldn't deliver the work. But that's not your situation.
No, my situation is that my current, they had a disagreement with the builder and they terminated the contract. My client walked away from the builder, right? So it's not the same. He's not bankrupt. It's just my, and you know, and my client, like, I don't want to, because I like my client. That's a person, I like him. But it's like, he shows me emails. He shows me things too. I don't know if he's allowed to show me or whatever. Or he's trying to manipulate me. I don't know. Because he's like, sometimes he'll show me numbers. I'm like, why are you showing me these numbers? I don't want to see these numbers, right? But he shows me
this
stuff.
This is when things were, you guys were communicating.
Yeah, this was, yeah, we're like, when we had meetings and stuff, right? Yeah. And
but he's not showing you this anymore.
No, last time I had a meeting, he showed me another number. But why are you showing me this? Like, I want to get paid.
Yeah.
You showing me this number just makes me more mad because my number is a tenth of a percent.
Of course.
Right?
So are you sitting there asking, why don't you just pay me then if you're showing me these
Well,
numbers?
Our meeting was to figure out why, when am I getting paid, right? The whole meeting was about that. And it's just, and then you signed the email, right? Again, I feel like my questions were unanswered, you know, blah, blah, blah,
blah. So then everything that's you're questioning yourself should be questions sent to them and you should be getting answers from them.
I know.
Whether, like, get them to say, we don't want to pay you, and then have it in writing, and simple as that.
I wish they would say that.
They can't say that because it goes towards accountability. We can't pay you because we haven't received funds from our other job or whatever. They can't say those words.
And you know what's very funny about accountability? Something else that I don't like about the culture recently is, like, I notice how project managers or they'll say things in text kind of like, they'll say things like, just maybe a little example. You forgot to do this part. But when I go there, it's not that I forgot. It's that you guys cut out my work. You guys forgot to add a little hose bib or a little notch. But the way you guys are wording it is my guys forgot to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't like that. Or like, it's just how they word it. They put the responsibility.
So why don't you respond back with the corrective
wording? I've been doing it. But I mean, I'm a 33-year-old, even though like I'm not young, but... Like, I'm going in blind. My boss got mad that I wanted to start my own company. He never gave me, like,
yeah,
I asked him, hey, you want to mentor me? Because I want to, you know, you took you 20 years where you are. I want to be there in 5 years, you know? So help me. Give me those shortcuts because I'm going to make those same mistakes. But he didn't want to help me. So whatever, right?
Where's he now?
I think he's still doing it.
Yeah. Don't talk to him anymore? Or?
I saw him once when we were picking up material. I could tell. Usually he would always love to talk and stuff, right? But now, no. It's
What's the issue?
I don't know why the issue is, right?
Why? Because one day you're going to take work away from him. That bullshit?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a big, we're a big country, big place, right?
There's a lot of work.
There's a lot of work.
There's always a lot of work.
There's always a lot of work. I don't have that mentality of like, oh, you're going to take work. Or if my guys, you know, they want to start their own thing. I'm not scared. Like, I know what I can provide. I know I'm confident in my company and I'm confident in myself. So I'm not really, like, I don't know why he would get mad. It's very hard for me to understand because I've been with him since 2009. It's almost 2009. I quit 2019.
But it's not like you dropped a surprise to him.
No,
I was saying, listen, I'm going to go and start my own.
No. Throughout the years, I was like, hey, his name, I'm starting my own company. Hey, I'm pricing this roof job.
Yeah.
I'm pricing this. What do you think? Is that a good price?
Yeah.
He knew. He eventually got to the point where he stopped paying me per hour, and I said, hey, can you pay me as a subcontractor? Because I don't want to, I know I can, why do I have to stay here for 8 hours when you trust me? I've been with you for almost 12, 13 years, and you know. And he's like, okay.
I still have conversations with people that used to work with me that have gone on their own and built their own thing.
I don't
and
see
they
why.
They have a question, and they reach out, and I'm like, listen, I'll handle it this way.
I would wish I could call him and say, hey, you know, this is my situation. Have you been in here before?
But right? I never looked at anybody who worked with me or for me as a competitor. Never. Yeah. Mm. I can't. And then if I taught them a bunch of stuff and they took it and built something with it, then I should be excited and proud for them because they're probably going to do a better version of what I taught them.
Yeah.
And that's what should happen.
He always kept saying, oh, David, you know, I don't want to grow. I want to stay small. You know, this is enough for me. So after he told me that, I was like, okay, so basically I'm at the top. No, I got to continue. I'm 28, 27. I'm not going to stay here.
So what's the worst case scenario, David, here, that if you don't get paid and you start extending credit and you're trying to survive, is it inevitable that you're basically going to fold up shop?
Well, I hope. So now I have the signed contract with the two builders, and I hope they pay next month.
What if they both become this situation?
Then I'm not going to get a loan. Fuck that. I'm not going to. Why am I
going to? I'm not saying that they will, but I'm just saying if it does happen.
I hope
it doesn't. You can't survive financially.
No, because I refuse to. I only get one loan, and that. Why should I get another loan? I ran basically my whole business with one business visa.
Here's the question: Are you considering the loan and the loan amount? Considering possibly that one of these two new jobs might go bad, so you want to increase that amount to cover that job if that happens.
Well, I took the loan. The loan has been taken out because I
signed. But that amount was took out to cover the loss.
That amount was to cover me until basically my client pays and then the two builders pay. Because I took a risk. I'm like, okay, they better pay June 15th.
It's a gamble now, right?
It's a gamble. But it's business, right? Business is a risk. Even though I know it's not nice to say, it's my situation.
It is a risk, but the thing is, like, the money's on the table there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's rather that or I walk out and maybe I don't get paid nothing, right?
You know what I see from the younger generation a lot saying is that the money's always there.
But I believe it is.
No, it's there, but you have to get it.
Oh, you have to fight for it. 100%.
Yeah, so when they try to get, like, I find the younger generation is different and they're better at this than the older generation because the older generation was always about a word, about a handshake, and then they would get the work and then the money would eventually come. It would take months. I was having a beer with another friend of mine, right? And we were sitting down and he was like playing the text game, you know, ignoring it all of a sudden. But then by fluke, a post was shared on social media. So then all of a sudden he got in and then he left a comment. He's like, oh, I thought you weren't away this weekend. And all of a sudden he's clearly showing that you're away this weekend. So then the communication got back up and running. And he's like, okay, listen, I'll have some money for you. And then he goes, what amount? And then he was giving him an amount. And he's like, that's less than half of what you owe.
Yeah.
So he kept on asking him over and over, what amount are we talking about? And then I was asking him, this friend of mine, what's the time frame we're talking about here? He goes, 4 months. I go, so you've completed the work, everything's all done, and you've gotten to the point of 4 months and he hasn't paid the amount now, and now he's just negotiating less than half of what he still owes you 4 months after the date that he owed you the full amount. You need to press him more.
I know, but it's
is that your situation is going to turn into that, is what I'm saying.
I feel like
it's so now you're carrying the loan. Yeah. So you can't go back to that builder. Well, by the way, that amount that I invoiced you guys has an interest charge on it now because of the loan that I had to take.
Yeah.
They won't pay it.
Because I didn't know, but I didn't even know. Like, see, do you know what a change directive is?
I'm assuming it's got something to do
with... Do you know what... Okay, so you know a change order.
Yeah.
A work order.
Yeah.
See, all these terms I'm learning for a high rise. A change directive is basically a work order without any of the paperwork. So the builder can come to me and say, this needs to get
verbally?
Done.
Verbally?
With no paperwork. And somehow, and it's very weird how it's like, but this is what bothers me about the culture, because it feels like even these contracts work against you, right? So let's say a pipe is going through this wall and it needs a thicker insulation or whatever. It's just very hard to explain, but it needs something that's not in the original drawing.
Yeah.
And it needs to be done ASAP.
Yeah.
I'll go do it. Change directive.
So that's where the line in the sand that I talk about, yeah.
And now where is the paperwork?
Why can't you send paperwork off to them saying you just came to me, like date it and timestamp it. You just came to me and you just asked me to do this change directive here. Yeah. And here is a description of the conversation that we just had.
Yeah.
And now you've created a paper trail.
So then there was another thing, Manny. See, I didn't know in my price, when I do a quote, I have to put all this money for all these meetings, all this paperwork. I'm learning, but it very bothers me that I didn't know.
I know, but now you know that. So the next time they come at you and they go, here's a directive, and then... Yeah.
No, but I even feel like for example, from what I went through now and my experience of all the managing that I have to do, all the meetings, my price is going to go up 30-40%. It has to, because I have to pay somebody to do what I'm doing.
It's either a hobby or is it a business?
But then there you go. And then I see what these people that are like my competitors are charging. And I'm like, well, I can do it for that. I'm not going to be managing people for free, right? If basically
they're underbidding you?
Not that they're underbidding me, but sometimes I don't understand their numbers, right? I don't understand how you guys can go that low. Or even sometimes the project, I don't know, maybe it's a game, but the estimator will go back to me and they're like, can you do it for this price?
Of course.
And it's a ridiculous price. And they'll be like, but your competitor is doing it for this. But like, I don't care. I can't.
How do you know that the competitor is doing it for that?
Because they show me.
They show you what?
They show me the prices.
I could Photoshop invoices all in a heartbeat, right?
Of course, I can
change shit all the time.
But it also happens the opposite way, where I have some guys where I give my price and they're like, David, your price is too low. Look at your competitors. So it really puts me like, it's, I understand what you're saying. Process. So some are very nice guys and maybe some guys are trying to fuck with you. But, you know, I believe in my mind, I think everyone has a good heart and you should do the best you can. No. Why are you here?
I'll agree with the second statement.
I know, but I want to believe that. Especially for my
I can't
son, you
believe
know?
That. I got 20 years on you. I can't believe that, right?
Yeah.
Especially in construction.
Yeah, I hear.
There is such a line drawn between suits and workwear. Yeah. Like there is.
And they know
how to take advantage of the workwear so well.
I see it. And it bothers me, but I see it. Because I feel like I can't do anything. If there's a change directive, because like I said, like I don't have I have to take note, I have to take a picture, then I have to write an email. And like, okay, so that's like a 30-minute, right? And there's maybe five in one
day. Is it worth the 30 minutes at that time to do it? Or is it worth the 6 months that you're going to be chasing them for the money?
That's what I mean,
right? 6+ months.
Right. Or even now, for example, like I'm basically done one project, but I got to go back because, you know, they had some leaks, they had to rip insulation. And what am I going to do? Charge you guys like for little bullshit repairs? No, but you guys are holding 10% of what a contract.
Yeah, is, yeah. So
you're holding 10% for little leaks that you had to cut out, right?
So are you seeing the industry just going to continue to compound this bullshit?
Well, like I said, I've been in the industry since 2009, and my employer would always complain about these things. And I would never, in my mind, I was like, why don't you just charge more? Like, you know this is going to happen.
But then now you're discovering.
But now I'm going through it. No, obviously, you can't charge for this.
So, there's I'm just going to be honest that, David, like, it almost sounds like your business has an expiry date. If this continues, all these things...
Like my business itself or the trade?
No, your business.
I hope not, but...
I'm just saying that it sounds from what I'm getting. Yeah. Because if you don't want to draw that line and go, listen, this is business, it's not friendship anymore.
Yeah.
You have outstanding money that you owe me. If you want to continue going down that route and you bid another job and they come back at you with a bullshit or a realistic quote from your competitor that's much lower than yours and you're not understanding how they can do that. Mm. And then they're asking you to do that. So then you got to start to question yourself. Well, go with them then.
Yeah, yes.
If they're so much better on the pricing, then go with them. Why are you speaking to me?
Yeah.
That's why I smell bullshit. Like, that price is not legit. Mm. They just want you to do it because you could probably do better work, but they want your price to go down. So then that money is there. Exactly. And when I say that money's there, I mean that money is there and it's either going to go to you or if it's going to go to the suits. Bottom line. So if the money's there, then you should get it if you do the work. So that's why I say that your business has an expiry date, because if this continues to happen, you're going to eventually have to say, I can't carry the loan anymore. Yeah.
But is it bad luck? My first client went bankrupt. Second client, they went, you know.
No, you can't look at it that way. But you're learning from all these experiences, right?
I'm definitely learning.
Being professionally aggressive enough to go after.
Yes, I'm not being professionally aggressive. It's very hard for me as a person, I feel. I don't know why, but I'm going to.
It's your South American nature, right? Like, it's just, that's how you guys, I mean, you guys are hard workers, but you guys also want, you assume the other side is just as the same way.
I assume you're going to keep your word.
Yeah.
Yes.
But nobody does that in today's age. Like, it doesn't, especially in today's construction.
I know.
If they're so easy to get litigated bullshit going.
Yeah.
And assume that you will disappear one day and just take it as a loss.
And it just doesn't make sense. Like, to me, like, it's very hard to understand why. Like, no money. Okay, I understand no money. But, like, how did you get to that chance? But
that's their problem.
That's their problem.
Not your problem. Your problem is that you did work and you haven't been paid for it.
Yes.
That's your problem. So now you need to solve it or ignore it.
Yeah. No, I'm going to solve it.
You have to solve it. So I don't, I'm just making suggestions here. I'm not in your situation.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of high rise because I fucking hate the suits.
Mm.
I hate all that bullshit. I can't stand it. I can't stand pressing the flesh and getting the media bites and talking about how many jobs we're creating, but they never talk about how many employees they're fucking.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff they don't talk about. A lot of
I've talked about when I've been downtown and I'm staring at all these high rise construction going on and I explain to people going, listen, I'm not seeing all these jobs that are being created. I'm seeing dozens and dozens of sub trades that are getting fucked over by a builder. That's what I'm seeing because they can.
Yeah. I know.
And then you also, not you specifically, but you, the majority of people in high rise have to deal with the union bullshit too. The union is not there to protect you anymore. The union is there to protect the weak, the ones that want to hide and seek and don't do any work.
Even my relationship with the union, for example, is I didn't like when they tried recruiting me about 10 years ago. I don't know how some union reps from my trade came. They're like, you guys are mechanical insulators. Your company is now unionized. I don't know how.
It's good. All right.
And then
your optometrist. I understand what you're seeing. It's gonna stay that way.
So they talked to us and they're like, okay, we want to sign you guys into the union, but their condition was you have to sign 70% of your company or some. They gave us some. They're like, bring all of your company, and then I'm like, no, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm like, that sounds. I'm like, that's my boss's company. My boss is not union. I don't want to. Like, it's not my business. It's not my part to do that. And the guy that was with me, he still wanted to join. But they didn't let him join at the end. Isn't that crazy? Some Indian guy.
Because they wanted the whole company.
They wanted the whole company. They were only there for the whole company.
It's a numbers game.
And then after that, and then also just the, you know, like, so another thing. So and this is a culture thing. So the new company, the new plumbing company, they're a union company, right? That are one of the projects that I'm working at.
Yeah.
When they found out I'm not union, they gave me like this disgusting look, like, but what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? So because I'm not union, my work is not. I guarantee you, I'm one of the maybe top five insulators in all of Ontario. Just I'm very proud of my work. My work makes sense. You know, we're like the veins of the building. You know what I mean? We make sure nothing sweats. Make sure all the I tell my guys all the time. You're like, we're not just insulating. We're building people's houses.
Yeah.
Like I don't care. Like sometimes I see my guys like sitting on the floor or whatever. Like, no, I don't want you sitting on the floor. We're working. You got to be on your knees. You got to move. You know, you got to show respect to the building or the whatever we're doing. You know what I mean? That's just how I am.
Yeah.
But some people know and are not like that. And it bothers me. It really bothers me.
Gone are the days, David, of representing the business that you work for. They don't care that small actions
I know
have huge accounts. Like if you... Yeah. sit around and just look like you're not doing shit. Like, that's a representative of that business.
Yeah. I tell my guys,
but that's the majority. That's the stereotype of a union nowadays, right? That's that joke of hide and seek, right?
Like I said, I worked with unions because, like, even though my employer, I don't know how my employer was not union, but we worked for a union plumbing company, right? For all those years. So I don't know how it worked, but I dealt with the union. I worked with union electricians, union plumbers, you know, a bunch of them.
I never had a lot of love for 9-to-5ers, regular industry, regular jobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they had their 8-hour days, right? And they'd be in their cubicles or wherever the job was, right? And I would always look at it like, out of that 8-hour day, you probably have worked 3, maybe 4 hours, lucky 4 hours, right? So your production is only half of what you're showing up to do.
Yes.
But when I got into construction, that was never the case. I never had moments on any of my job sites where everybody was just lazing around saying, fuck it, we don't care, we don't give a shit. We were always hungry to build. Yeah. We always had tasks to achieve. Mm. So you'd show up in the morning and you'd rock and roll and work. Yeah. You take your smoke break, your coffee break, your lunch break. You take those breaks. But the crews, the solid crews that I would work with, they were loyal to those breaks. And when I say that, they're like hard 10, hard 15, hard 30 for lunch. And then they get right back at it. So it's like when I look at a 9-hour day or 10-hour day, you're seeing trades work those 8 hours solid. So then I never had respect. And then when COVID hit, everybody was working from home. That production of 4 hours per day coming out of the office worker probably dropped down to like an hour and a half, if that. And so it's like, that's how politicians are. Yeah. I always shook my head when you heard about politicians taking the summers fucking off.
We're
closing parliament. Like, we're exhausted.
I don't understand that.
You're exhausted. I don't understand how you're exhausted. Like, that makes no sense.
Like, for me, from my experience, like, when I was 14 years old, my first job was a residential construction. So I was digging waterproofing, digging the trenches. And I used to love it. It used to be so fun. And you're right. At 9 o'clock, the lunch truck comes.
But you worked.
You work 9:15. Okay, we're everybody excited to go back. Now here, drag your feet. And I'm just speaking for my guys, you know? Okay, they got to go to the washroom. They go to the washroom on the ground floor. We're on the fucking 15th floor.
Is there no toilet on
there? There's every three floors. I got to go to a clean toilet. Right? And then I'm sorry,
they just got to waste time.
I'm telling you.
That's all.
There's been...
Smokers are just waste timers. That's all they are.
There's very little things that I see in the union where, like, they don't want to get it done. Like I told you, like, when I'm at a site, I feel like we're in a fleet. And we all should be we all have a target. We all have different jobs.
That's how it used to be.
But you know, I've been here since working since 2009, and I feel like the condo has always kind of been, no, fuck those trades, no, fuck that trade, no, fuck the framers, no, why fuck them? Let's talk to them. Let's say, hey, wait. But you know what? Something else that really bothers me, and I know it's again about the suites, about how they prefer certain trades to get stuff done, and I don't know because I'm just a mechanical insulator, but I feel like they give a preference to closing walls and finishing walls so then they can go to the bank and say, hey, we're done this.
It's milestones.
That's not right. We got to completely change
that. It's all borrowed money.
Because they're losing so much money. All the rework, I'm pretty sure the plumbers are like, hey,
But the rework or the back charging, all that shit is not factored into the draws that are given to them for hitting milestones. So they don't care about that.
So they look like, if we don't reach this milestone, we're going to lose more than what we have to pay in interest.
Yeah.
That's not right, man.
No, I agree with you. Trust me. I don't have much love for the way the culture has been set up and for the line that's been drawn in the sand regarding the workforce that is required. When I look at old video clips of tradespeople working on high rise, whether they're union or non-union, and they're scaling these beams, no harnesses, and they're sitting there on the classic image that we all know about, but you even see tradespeople in subdivisions and you're seeing them build, you know, stuff wearing like, suits.
Yes.
They're wearing casuals and they're wearing all that stuff, right?
Like ties and everything.
And like I look at all that content and I feel confident enough to say they're being paid on a weekly basis. Mm. You know what I mean? There's this term in the film business, right? So whenever you work in the film business and you have a very long day and you're on the last shot, it's known as the window shot, right? So it's like everybody's just announced, it's just told to everybody that this is the window shot. Mm. And the reason that it was called the window shot is because after this shot, you went to the window to get paid. So you got your earnings for the work that you performed, right? Mm. So it's like, that's where we need to get back to, where I see these people in these old construction videos doing the hard work, hard day's work. And then, you know, at the end of that week, they're being paid, because guess what? That's going to motivate them to come back the next week to continue doing the work. But that's not happening today.
Yeah. Let me say something else actually regarding that. So, you know, there's also a problem where I feel like the builders, they look for little things in order not to pay. They'll like this.
I know.
No, we're not. Let's say even though we did 90% of the bill of the floor, they'll put 50% or whatever.
I know.
And then the mechanical contract will go to me and say, hey, they didn't accept your schedule of values. They cut it down by this much. Okay. But then where does that leave me? Because, you know, even
it gives you the right to refuse that. No,
I know, but it's very easy to say that, but I got to pay my guys next week, right? Now you guys cut down, I know, my draw, 15,000.
The same time that you're paying your guys, you're sending a rebuttal to that saying, based on my calculations, I agree with you that these deficiencies need to be taken care of, but it's not 50%. It's 70%. Mm. So that's all. Just prove to them, if they want to talk numbers, prove to them that there is not 50% not completed. Yeah.
But I feel like that's very malicious. I feel like it's on purpose.
But they're doing the same thing on that end.
But I mean, I feel like they're doing it on purpose. Like they're doing 50%
to delay the payment of you.
Yes. Well, why?
Because they haven't been paid all their draws, or they already spent all their draws and they can't pay you now.
But aren't they the builder? Aren't they supposed to be the main guy? Like, so why are they
like
short?
You? They don't want to go to the bank to borrow money. No different than clients that are doing custom resi. The reason they don't pay you is because they can't go back to the bank to get more funds. So they don't have the funds.
See, but that's, I'm having very, like, maybe I'm thinking too highly of them. I feel like if you got this condo, if you got this project, everything's laid out. You have specifically this much for the mechanical contractor, specifically this much.
I think it's easy enough. I think at the start of that contract, you should probably look at that builder's social media page before that contract started, before that structure started being built. And pay attention to how many fucking golf events they had, how many networking events they had, all this shit. Because that money that's supposed to be paid towards you,
it's going there.
It's going somewhere. It ain't the suits paying it for themselves out of their own pocket. We have a government right now that's wasting taxpayer dollars on manicures and haircuts. Why the fuck is that our responsibility? It's not. So that's what's happening. So the money's there. I'm just saying that the money, I think you need to stop being the nice guy and start being the business guy.
I agree. I my wife tells me all the time, like, she's like, not man up.
Get
like,
her to be the, not man up. I'm not saying
that. Yeah, no, but I like.
Get her to be Vladimir. Like, I just don't, like, I'm telling you right now.
But she's
like,
too nice. She's
the best thing that I've heard from a builder, you know, like he told me, he shared that off mic. And I was like, that's a smart move. And he just sends in the bulldog.
No, I know that sounds like a
He's professional. He's not an asshole. He's not threatening.
He's just
professional.
Yeah, yeah.
But you are no longer dealing with the nice guy that we work with.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're dealing with a guy that has to collect this money.
And Manny, I still can't get over it. It just very bothers me that like people could take advantage of stuff like that, you know? Because like I feel like, what do you get out of it if you fuck me over? You know what I mean? It's really just
a huge cost savings. That's what they get out of it. They really do truly count on you guys going away, taking the hit. They count on that. They do. That's the sad part. I hate it.
But I'm not going away.
Then start doing things that will keep you there.
No, yeah, for sure. I hear all those like especially like for me, like I said, like it's just I feel like I when someone emails me, I email them right away, or at least within the day. Right? It's just how I am. But again, I got to stop thinking of how people are not me. I hear what you're saying.
This is construction.
This is construction. It's cutthroat.
Like it's like I learned really quickly in my first year that I was going to probably make a few enemies.
Mm.
It's just because I was going to voice my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And it was just going to be like, I don't give a shit. Nowadays, I don't care about the enemies and I just hang on to the real friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? People that reach out and talk to me and I have conversations with, or I'll get together. And we talk about, it would be a great industry if it was all sunshine and rainbows, but you can't get either without fucking plug.
And it's not perfect. And I'm saying, and I'm not saying I'm not perfect. You know, I'm not. Of course, I make mistakes in a project like that. And you know,
but you're owning them though. You're going back and you're taking care of it.
I would always own it.
But you're doing it because you want to complete the work that you were asked to do.
Yes.
But part of that is being compensated for work that you completed.
And then, you know, like even like with the builders that I re-signed with the contract, you know, I tried very much to not, you know, raise my price, like, you know, not raise my price not take advantage of the situation, right? Like, no, I want to get this job done. So that's what I was saying with one of the, and I know you're going to hate me for this, Manny, one of them. So I've been working for almost a month there.
Okay.
No signed contract yet. Keep replying. Hey, when is the contract going to be signed? I'm still waiting.
You're working?
I'm working. Right?
You keeping a paper trail?
Yes, of course I'm keeping a paper trail.
So that's fine.
But why? Just give me the contract, right? And then there's an email saying, you know what? So I've submitted a progress report and a schedule of values.
They're responding to these?
Yes, they're responding.
So that's fine.
So no contract? No signed paper? But
You can get into legal hot water without or with a contract.
Oh, really?
You can get into legal hot water if you shook a hand or didn't shake a hand. This is Canada, and the U.S. is probably just as bad, if not worse or whatever. But in North America, litigation is litigation. It doesn't fucking matter. So if you think that you have a contract and you're covered,
it's
total horseshit. You can still get attacked, right? Okay. So there's still the point of litigation is just arguing. All you have to do is present an argument to a third party, which is the judge. And then that judge has to decide whether or not this actually happened. So that's why my first question to you was, did they respond? Is there a paper trail?
Yeah.
That's what's important here.
Okay.
All you care, like what wins in litigation and any or mediation, or all that other shit is if you have a cycle of events.
Yeah.
You can connect the dots. So I don't give a shit that you didn't sign a contract with them, but I give a shit if you communicated with them and they responded.
Yeah. So there's emails like, go ahead, give me your progress report.
Yes.
You know, there's
that's
those.
Perfect.
Okay.
So how do you deny if they want to turn around and go, listen, we never had a contract? Well, based on the 6 months of emails and text communications here, we had a job scope and you know parameters and you signed off on it and there was changes, all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
So they're still accountable and you're still accountable.
Still accountable.
Both sides. But you want to do your side to get paid.
I just want to have a peace of mind that I have a contract. Because we're talking big numbers, right? I don't want to put
the best thing you can do is stay away from fucking lawyers, man. Just avoid scenarios to stay away from lawyers. I don't give a shit. They get paid way too much for what they do.
Yeah.
And they only represent the interests of the person that approaches them first.
Yeah. Without the consequences of whatever is going
to
happen.
Whether you're right or wrong, lawyers, in my opinion, will always fucking lie to you. They're like, you've got a good case, you'll win. These are all bullshit terms because you guys are not Kreskin. I've seen litigation situations that should not have won. Win. And I'm like, this is bullshit the way it is. And then you get the same lawyer saying, well, we'll appeal. All that means is they're going to continue being paid. That's all that means. So the moment that the legal profession puts skin in the game and they start saying, listen, they should change these laws. I'll represent you because I'm going to be accountable for 50% of all the expenses associated with this litigation. They'll never agree to that because now they have to actually do the job.
But what about things like where like the loser or like not the loser, but like the person who lost the case has to pay for your lawyer?
Yeah, that's all part of that whole process. But I hope you understand that the courts have nothing to do with the collection of awards. So even if you win, it's not the court's responsibility
to collect.
And at that point, you have to start a new lawsuit to collect. Which pays lawyers more. That's why I keep saying, stay the fuck away from litigation. I've had lawyers on the show. They're nice people, down to earth, but I fucking hate the profession. And in construction, it's rampant. There's probably more fucking legal bullshit than nails in construction. That's how sad I fucking hate it. So whatever you can do to avoid that, do it.
No, but that's how I am.
If you want to be Vladimir and you want to be a prick and you want to continuously send an email every fucking day until you get an answer, then do that. Because the alternative is that you're going to get emails from your lawyers every fucking day. And trust me, lawyer emails, they cost. They're not free. They time that shit. How long it took to write, how long it took to send, how long it took to read your response. These are all numbers that you're paying for. It's bullshit. It's not fair. So I'm saying you're running a business. These people owe money. You did the job. It's been signed off. Get a record of the inspector signing off on it. Send that document to them going, listen, it's passed. Scope is done. I've achieved it.
Well, Monday, one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the builder and I want like confirmation like they actually got paid, right? So I, and then hopefully from there, I'm going to...
What do you mean? The builder got confirmation that they got paid?
I want to go to the builder and I want to know if the builder actually paid my client, right?
Yeah, you can find out about that.
Because then I want to know why you're holding the money.
Sure.
There's no reason why.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happened with the other two.
More information you can pull and send it to... Well, listen, you don't send it. Vladimir sends it. You keep on... Like, get that. Here you go. Here's a copy of the builder saying that you've already... Your draw has been sent. You've received it on this date.
Mm.
So my client, like I need to be receiving funds now.
Yes.
When am I going to see funds here?
No, I'm going to, man.
Is the industry still checks or is it all transfers?
What do you mean?
Payment wise.
I get e-transfer from my client.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Is that how it always was?
No. It wasn't always that case. It was always, even towards the end of my career, construction, almost every guy was asking me for transfers. And I was like, yeah, I didn't mind that. I don't give a shit. Because now you're getting funds right away.
Yes.
You give them a check. You have to, produce the check, send it off to them. They got to deposit it. There's a clearance period. And I was that's a hassle. That's a bullshit hassle. Mm. The funds are there. It needs to get transferred there.
Yeah.
It's a zeros and ones thing at that point, right?
Some clients still do check in the mail.
Because they probably want to delay the process, whatever. Yeah. But we didn't really... I want you to share. I want to do the 12 questions. But at RCS Installation, you can find them on Instagram, www.rcsinstallation.ca. Contact at rcsinstallation.ca. And his phone number is 416-731-4235. And then Takara.
And Takara Imports. Oh, and I also do fire stopping. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you mentioned that you do the fire stop, which is a big deal, right?
Yes.
When did you start the Takara thing?
Takara's, basically it got birthed 2 months ago. And we're going to do a soft opening maybe at the end of mid-June. And then we're going
to
do a hard
opening. Where can we go to look at some of the gear?
So Takara Imports at Instagram. Just search Takara Imports.
On Instagram.
And you'll find
it. And there's a website there?
And there's the website
And you can purchase stuff right now?
Right on. In the next couple of weeks.
Through you, right?
Through me, yeah. Okay. So basically what I'm doing is, my wife is, looking at all the pieces over there, like what we think is going to be nice. Takara means treasure.
It means what?
Takara means treasure. Treasure. So, like, and then, for example, like I'm wearing this vest right here. I don't know if you can see it. It's very practical. It has a lot of pockets.
Yeah.
Fits a lot of stuff. And it's just, Japanese quality. It's handmade. I mean, it's really good. I'm wearing the pants. I had these pants for like 4 years. How would I describe the pants is outside it feels like denim. Inside it feels like you're wearing, joggers. It feels so comfortable.
Do they make hard hats too?
No, I don't. I'm pretty sure they do, but they make hard hats, but I wouldn't import that because I think it's all like with the green square, right? Even their boots, they have to have that green.
Yeah, no.
CSA.
I want a Japanese hard hat, man.
Yeah,
I couldn't get one when I was in.
Maybe I'll hook you up.
No, if you can hook me up with a Japanese hard hat, I'll fucking totally take it.
Okay, I'll look into it.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So everyone, check it out. And what are they priced at? Like, what kind of?
It really depends. The pants maybe from $100 and up.
Okay.
And the vest, $100 and up. Like I said, it's very good quality, just check it out.
You outfitting all the guys on the crew?
Yes. Yeah. I give them the pants. I wear everything, and sometimes they look at me like, are you familiar with Toby pants?
Yeah.
The high rise, that's one of the things. That they're very comfortable, man, those pants.
Dude, I was like, when I was in Ireland, I brought back Snickers.
Oh, yeah?
Before Snickers was in North America.
Mm.
Like, I knew about Snickers. I knew about Blackladder. I knew about all these brands, right? I think maybe my first pair of Carhartts, I was like, what is this? This is like a cardboard box I'm sitting is ridiculous,
It's not
right?
comfortable.
I wasn't comfortable, and eventually I got rid of it because I wasn't comfortable in it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
My father-in-law, he bought me like 3 sets of these pants, and I'm like, never again. Yeah, I can't wear anything else.
No, I know. That's the thing about it is like when a tradesperson puts them on for the first time, they'll get it. They'll understand. And when they work all day and not realize that they're not uncomfortable, they're like, holy shit, I went the whole day and I'm totally comfortable.
Yeah. And like I said, in Japan, it's very humid there. So their Japanese, their summer technology.
They get it.
It's spot on.
They
spot
get on. It. So do they have a women's line?
I'm going. Yeah, they do have a women's line.
We're
going
to start as well. Yeah, okay.
And they actually have like a little kids' line as well for like hiking.
Yeah. Totally cool, man.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah,
that's why I like it.
Yeah.
All right, we got to do the 12 questions. You ready?
Sounds good.
What is your favorite construction word?
Construction word, fuck.
What is your least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool. I want to say a grinder, I guess.
Construction sound do you love?
Construction sound I love. I love that ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I guess it's the jackhammers in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. Or I don't know what it is, like when you're in like the concrete guys.
Yeah, it would be yeah, the yeah, jackhammer, and they're breaking shit off. Yeah. Favorite beverage?
Coffee.
Who makes the best empanadas?
Empanadas? I want to say the Colombians.
You think the Colombians?
Yeah, I love the Colombian empanadas. Yeah, they're the best. And the least, and I may get some hate for it, the Argentinians and the Uruguayans, maybe. Because they put olives. Have you ever had an empanada?
What's going on? Olives?
They put olives in their empanadas.
No, that makes no sense, no, man.
Trust me, man.
That makes no sense, man.
And I think they put onions, I think, too, some of them. Cheese and onion, I think. There's very different kinds of empanadas.
I know there's different kinds. Yeah. And I know that I've seen, there's a place here in Toronto, I think they just make empanadas. Like, they do a wide variety of them. I can't remember the name of them, right? But I was like, this doesn't work for me, man. Like,
I'll plug one. I forget their name. Where? But south of Dufferin and Lawrence.
What's the name of it?
I don't know, but it's right beside that the ice cream shop in that church. And you'll see it. It's like Colombian flag.
And it's good?
It's the best, the best. It's get the good? Chicken one and get the meat ones. They're the best. Yeah. With the hot sauce.
Now we got a craving for it. Sorry. What's the worst and best part of construction?
The best part for me, I like that we get to build, you know? And I'm very proud of, like, I feel like I'm part of building the skyline because I've been doing this since 2009. So I'm very proud of it. I feel like just building stuff.
And what's worse?
Now it's just dealing with the politics and like that. Like just.
Them, I know.
I don't know. I don't know what you call this. The politics of it?
The bullshit of it.
The bullshit.
We need more people inside concrete these days. That's what we need. What is your favorite curse word?
I use fuck.
You can use it again.
Yeah, I guess fuck, yeah. You always hear me saying that.
Favorite vehicle in the entire world? Any motor transportation?
Favorite vehicle in the entire world. I want to say my first car.
Which one?
Mazda 929 Serenia.
Oh, a 929, the sedan.
Very rare.
The luxury sedan. It was a nice car.
I used to call it the boat.
Yeah, it was a big one. It was big for Mazda. It was long.
And I used to have Chevrolet rims on it, but I used to it used to be crazy.
What do you miss from your childhood?
From my childhood, just the not worrying, you know, kind of just day by day.
You know, a kid.
Yeah, no kids, no nothing, right?
Just, kid. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I don't know, but I do see myself not doing construction. I just don't know what.
So that's why I said that I see an expiration date there.
Yeah, you're right. I do. But I do like construction.
I love construction.
I love it. But
I can't stand clients.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I don't like the... Yeah.
You don't like the bullshit. There's more and more bullshit. There's not enough wheelbarrows out there to carry all that bullshit.
And I feel like sometimes, I don't know, or maybe it's just my personality and how I see things. Like, I have to do these things even though I don't want to. Like, just to keep the boat afloat or, keep the... But I feel like, like I said, I did my job. I fulfilled my part of the deal. Let me get paid, right?
Sorry, what did you say you want to do?
Anything besides construction. I don't like
that. Oh, anything at all?
I would try anything, to be honest.
What profession would you not like to do?
I guess cop.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Just good job. You made it. That's it. Yeah.
David, thanks so much, man.
No, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I got a lot of my chest.
Yeah, no, I know that there's a lot of bullshit going on, and sometimes you got to... These are the bumps and bruises that I talk about a lot, that a lot of the younger generation needs to experience to get it, right? But I think you also need to be a little more aggressive and... If you speak to enough older people or people that have been in the industry long enough, they will tell you the same things.
And I also feel like even if I did have a mentor, even though maybe he did would tell me, I feel like I wouldn't learn or appreciate what I'm going through now.
No.
Because I do see a light at the end of the tunnel. But but you're right. I also shouldn't just think he's going to pay me. No, I have to put my due diligence and I have to make sure he knows I need to get paid.
Yeah. Just come up with your plan now to figure out how you're going to get paid. If that's the plan that you want, figure it out.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, the alternative is you're not going to get paid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, man, for everything. Appreciate
it. No, thank you. It was good to see you and everybody check them out. And hopefully everything does work out well. Hopefully it does really work out well.
I'll keep you noted.
I'll check out the workwear as well, too. Yeah. I'm a huge fan, right?
So I'll keep you. I'll send you the link as soon as... Hopefully in the next week, we'll be up and running. Have a catalog up.
Awesome, man.
All right. Thank you, Manny.
Thanks. We're out of here.